"Those wolves!" screamed Harris. "They got out! They got Ben!" He came plunging out of the trees, gun at the ready, his nearly useless eyes wide and staring and panicked. He started shooting at Wilson, who released the dead Ben's throat. The first bullet smashed his left front paw to pulp. The second and third slugs hammered into his chest, and Wilson Wolf staggered to one side, yelping in sudden agony. He twisted and strained as he went down, paws scrabbling at his own stomach, until there was abruptly a balding, overweight man lying on the earth beside the dead wolf, his jacket open, his shirt unbuttoned to show the unfastened wolf belt. There was blood all over Wilson, bubbling out of his mouth. "Holy," Harris breathed, pacing closer, his gun held up until he could see what he had done. "George? Oh, God, oh, God, I thought you were one of them. What the hell?" Agent Wilson didn't answer the red-headed kid. He simply drew his gun from his jacket and started shooting. In their human forms, they couldn't see each other very well in the dark, I thought. They both started shooting at the muzzle flashes. More blood filled the air, along with the sharp, acrid smell of burning gunpowder. Both men went down, bleeding out into the earth, and I felt my jaws open in another smile, on another sense of warm satisfaction. Idiots. Who did they think they were dealing with here? They've been making my life miserable and the lives of others, and now they got their just desserts. It would have been better had I torn their throats myself, admittedly. But then I thought there was still Denton to deal with. That thought cheering me, I turned and made my way into the woods, hunting the last of them. My heart was pounding hard and relaxed and steady with excitement as I melded in with the night and searched for prey. Denton and I met as I emerged from the circle of trees. He stood in the moonlight, in the right shape, the only real shape, the moon streaking his brown coat shades paler and making his eyes glow. He was powerfully built. He was as powerfully built as his two-leg shape and looked quick and strong. His eyes burned with the lust of the moon, the night, with blood need and raging, wild strength, just as mine did. We faced one another, and there was a mad sort of joy in it. I would have giggled if I could have. A snarl came bubbling up out of my chest like music, and I launched myself at him. We met in a tangle of scratching claws, snapping teeth, dark fur. He was the stronger, I the quicker. The fight was silent, no breath wasted. It was a duel between us. Our fangs were our swords, thick fur ruffs used as shield and armor. I tasted his blood in my mouth from the slash to an ear, and it hit me like a drug, sent a fury and power coursing through me that I'd never known. I threw myself at him again, and an instant later was rewarded for my overeagerness with a hot pang on my foreleg. Scarlet-black blood stained Denton's fangs in the moonlight. We separated and stalked one another in a slow circle, looking for weakness, our eyes never leaving one another. I laughed at him silently, and he answered me in much the same way. I understood him then, and rejoiced with him in the power he had found. In that moment, I loved the man, felt him a brother, and longed to hold his throat in my jaws as the last of his blood flowed out of him. It was the most ancient of struggles, the deepest of conflicts, survival of the fittest. One of us would live to run again, to hunt, to kill, to taste blood, and the other would be dead and cold on the grass. It was good. We came together again like partners in a dance, moving over the grass together. Dimly, of course, I was aware of Tara dancing with a loup-garou, but it didn't matter to me, really. They were far away, dozens of yards, and I took no notice of them. My joy was here. We danced under the moon, and he made his first misstep. I threw myself into an open he'd left me, knocked him to the ground with my shoulder, and as he rolled and twisted away, I took his back leg right across the big tendon. He screamed his fury, but I heard the fear in it too. He scrambled to his three good paws again and turned to face me, but there was terrible knowledge in his eyes, just as there was in mine. We both knew it was all over, but the bleeding. I shuddered. Yes, the bleeding. beating. He could still face me, could still hurt me if I were foolish, but I wasn't. I began to wear him down, pressing him with short rushes and quick withdrawals that forced him to shift his weight awkwardly, stumble on his three working limbs to wear him out. As his reactions became slower, I tested him with a few flashing passes of fangs. Once more, I tasted his blood. I gave him a dozen small wounds, and each taste of him made my frenzy all the more satisfying. The night, the dance, the violence, the blood, all of it was overwhelming, more than any power I had ever felt, any medicine I'd ever tasted. Even in my dreams or in the wild realms of the Never Never, it was pure beauty, pure pleasure, pure power. Victory was mine. I grew contemptuous of him as he began to whimper, to seek escape. The fool, he should never have tested himself against me, should never have tried his strength against mine. Had he yielded to me at once, I would have been content to lead him, to accept him as a follower, and taken him with me on the hunts. It was sad, in a way, but then I could always find others. It would not be difficult to make the belts, I thought, to give them to a few people to try. Once they had, they'd never take them off again. I stalked Denton as he faltered, and I thought of running with Susan, of filling our mouths with hot, sweet blood, of taking her in the ecstasy of the night and the kill, and it made me shake with anticipation. I threw myself at Denton, knocked him over, and went for his throat. The fool scrambled and took his belt off, melting into an ugly two-leg form, his suit covered in blood. "Please," he croaked. "Oh, God, please, don't kill me, don't kill me." I snarled in answer. I let my fangs tighten on his neck. I could feel his pulse against my tongue. Don't kill him. That he would beg at all was contemptuous. He should have known the law of the jungle before he started trying to rule it. Who did he think he was dealing with? Someone who would give him mercy? Let him survive, crippled and pathetic, and feed him when he whined again? I wanted to laugh. My jaws tightened on his throat. I wanted to feel him die. Something told me that everything else I'd experienced since I found my true self was child's candy next to the passing of a life beneath me. I shook with eagerness. Denton continued to beg, and it made me hesitate. I snarled, annoyed. No, no weakness, no mercy. I wanted his blood. I wanted his life. He had tried me and failed. Kill him. Kill him and take my rightful place. Who did he think I was?
"Harry?"
whispered a terrified voice. Without releasing his throat, I looked up. Susan stood there in the moonlight, slender and graceful for a two legs. Her camera was in one hand, dangling, forgotten at her side. Her eyes were wide with desire, and she smelled of perfume and our mating and of fear. Something pressed at my awareness, as though part of me wanted to ignore her, to rip and rend. I focused on Susan, on her expression, on her eyes. They weren't wide with desire. They were terrified. She was terrified of me.
"My God," Susan said. "Harry!"
She fell to her knees, staring at me, at my eyes. I felt Denton's pulse beneath my tongue, felt his whimpers vibrate into my mouth. So easy. One simple motion, and I would never have any doubts, fears, questions, never again. "And," something inside me said in a calm tone, "you'll never be Harry Dresden again." Power. I could feel the belt's power in me, its magic, its strength. I recognized it now. That dark surety, that heady and careless delight, I recognized why there were parts of me that loved it so much. I released Denton's throat and backed away from him. I scrambled with my paws, my stomach twisting in sudden nausea, rebelling at the very idea of what I was about to do. I sobbed and tore the belt from my waist, ripping my shirt in the process, feeling my body grow awkward and heavy and clumsy and pained again. Injuries that had been nothing to my to the wolf form returned in vengeance to my human frailty. I threw the belt away from me as far as it would go. I could feel hot tears on my face at the loss of that joy, that energy, that impervious strength. "You bastard," I said to Denton. "Damn you, you poor bastard." He lay on his side now, whimpering from his injuries, bleeding from many wounds, one leg curled limp and useless beneath him. I crawled to him and took his belt away, threw it after the other. Susan rushed over to me, but I caught her before she could embrace me. "Don't touch me," I warned her, and I meant it with every cell in me. "Don't touch me now." Susan flinched away from me as though the words had burned her.
"Harry," she whispered. "Oh God, Harry, we've got to get you away from all this."
From the far side of the ring of trees, there was another furious bellow. There was motion in the trees, and then Murphy, leading a stumbling, clumsy string of naked alphas, came out of the woods toward me, staying low. She had a gun, probably taken from one of the bodies, in her good hand. "All right," I said, as they approached and turned a shoulder to Susan, pressing her away. I couldn't even look at her. "Murphy, you and Susan get these kids out of here. Now."
"No,"
Murphy said. "I'm staying." Her eyes flickered to Denton, narrowing in a flash of anger, and then dismissed him again as quickly. She made no move to examine his injuries. Maybe she didn't care if he bled to death either.
"You can't hurt McFinn," I said.
"And you can?" she asked. She leaned closer and peered at me.
"Christ, Dresden, you've got blood all over your mouth."
I snarled. "Take the kids and go, Karen. I'm handling things here." Murphy, for an answer, slipped the safety off the gun. "I'm the cop here," she said, "not you. This is a bust in progress. I'm staying until the end." She smiled tight. "When I can sort out who's the good guy and who isn't." I spat out another curse.
"I don't have time to argue with you. Susan, get the kids back in the van."
"But Harry," she began.
Fury rose to the top of the rampant emotions coursing through me. "I've got enough blood on my hands," I screamed. "Get these kids out of here, damn you."
Susan's dark-toned face went pale. She turned to the nearest of the naked, wet, shivering alphas, Georgia, as it happened. She took the young woman's hand, had the others line up in a drug-hazed confusion and join hands, and then led them away. I watched them go and felt a seething anger and sorrow and fear in me twist around in confusion. From the far side of the woods, there was another bellow of rage, a shaking of one of the evergreens, and then a sharp, sudden yelp of purest anguish. Tara. The sound of the she-wolf's pain rose to a frantic gurgling sound and then went silent. Murphy and I stared at the trees. I saw a flicker of red eyes somewhere behind them, and then it was gone.
"It's coming around," Murphy said. "It will circle around to get us."
"Yeah," I said. The loop guru's blood was up after the infuriating chase after Tara. It would go after whatever it saw next. My mouth twisted bitterly. I had a unique insight into its point of view.
"What do we do now?" Murphy said, her knuckles whitened on the gun.
"We go after it and try to hold it long enough for Susan and the kids to get away," I said. "What about Marconi?"
"What about him?"
"He saved our lives," I said. Murphy's expression said she wasn't happy about that idea. "We owe him."
"You want to get him out of there?"
"I don't want to leave anyone else to that thing," I said. "How about you?" She closed her eyes and let out a breath.
"All right," she said.
"But God, this smells like you're trying to set me up, Dresden.
If you get me killed, there's no one left who saw what happened here, is there?"
"If you want to be safe, go after Susan," I said bluntly. "We split up. One of us attracts its attention. Maybe the other will get through."
"Fine," Murphy snarled. "Fuck you, Harry Dresden."
Famous last words, I thought, but I didn't waste my breath on voicing it. It was time to face the loop guru.